Transport Minister Fikile Mbalula earlier today announced that according to the preliminary figures, 189 crashes were recorded over the Easter weekend, resulting in 235 fatalities nationwide. South Africa's deteriorating road infrastructure have consistently been blamed for the high death toll in daily accidents, but more specifically during times such as Easter weekend and the end of the year festive season. How do we compare on the international stage? We chat this afternoon to Dr. Lee Randall, who is a consultant at the Priceless Essay at the School of Public Health at Wits. Dr. Lee, good afternoon and welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Yusuf. Thank you for having me and hello to the listeners.
Thank you for joining us. What does the statistics tell us about the number of deadly accidents in the rest of the world in comparison to what we see in South Africa?
Well, can I come to that in a moment? I'd like to just briefly acknowledge my late colleague, Abbas Tami Khadebe, who passed away on the 14th of March. He assisted me with my road safety research, and he was a co-founder of the Road Ethics Project. I just want to wish peace on him in his journey with Allah and to give thanks for the knowledge that he shared with us while he was with us.
Well, that is lovely that you do acknowledge him at this point, and you know, from the way you've outlined his contribution, really something special.
Yes, thank you very much. So to get back to the question, my article, which has led to you inviting me onto your show, dealt with a survey which claimed to have identified the world's safest and most dangerous roads. It's a very flawed survey. I'd like to make that point first of all. It only analyzed 56 countries when in fact the world has about 200 countries. And in those 56 countries, it ranked South Africa as bottom of the class. And there's a lot of merit in that ranking, but because the survey was so unrepresentative, it can't be accepted that we are truly bottom of the class. Virtually the whole of Africa was omitted from the survey.
Yes.
Along with all low-income countries. Having said that, however, South Africa does have a very distinct road safety problem. Our levels of crashes, injuries, and life-changing disabilities on our roads is horrendous. The Easter weekend, as you point out, in a typical year, is a particularly bad period. Last year, we actually only killed 28 people the whole of the Easter weekend, but that's because we were all locked down. So we can't really take that very much into account. We have a very distinct problem. The number of people who die on our roads out of every 100,000 deaths is far higher than the world average of 18. In our case, it's as many as 26. Whereas in aspirational countries such as Sweden and Australia, the number is below 5. So we have a very long way to go in terms of our road safety. There's a great deal of improvement that's needed. And yet, we are not bottom of the class.
Yes. You've outlined, you know, the fact that the survey is flawed in this way that it's just outlined 56 countries and doesn't give a true representation of the entire world. But what are some of the positives that we can draw from this? What are the unintended consequences of the survey?
Well, one of the unintended consequences is that people get a bit fatalistic and they just give up and they think, well, we're bottom of the class. It doesn't actually matter how I behave on the roads. And of course, that is a very false assumption because every one of us through our actions has ethical consequences, which could at worst involve loss of life, whether it's our own or other people's. As road users, we have to have some sort of inner traffic cop, as I like to call it, operating all the time, ethically guiding us as to how we should behave on the roads, whether we are pedestrians, drivers, vehicle occupants, you name it. So the thing that's important to bear in mind is a survey like the one that we've mentioned is really focused on human behavior and some of the laws designed to shape that behavior and enforce certain ways of behaving. But the current paradigm of road safety is really the safe system model, which says we've got to look at three elements. Number one, the road infrastructure itself, and that can be around things like potholes, but also things like Is there a pavement? Is there a place for pedestrians to walk safely? Are there safe pulling in places for minibus taxis to unload and offload passengers, for instance? So the road infrastructure is critical. Second, human behavior is critical, and that includes well-licensed, well-educated, insightful people using the road system of all ages and all types of road users. And then the third big element is vehicles. If you have perfect behavior from human beings and a wonderful road system, but the vehicles are problematic, they may be non-roadworthy, or they may be allowing for overloading, or they may have no seatbelts, then we lack a very key ingredient in the safe system. And the survey really helps to bring that home, that looking only at human behavior is never going to be adequate.
What do you view as promising when comparing South African roads to those in the rest of Africa and countries such as, for example, India?
We're not worst in the world, and in fact, we're a lot better off than many African countries and many Southeast Asian countries. We do have a high death rate, and we have some superb road infrastructure, but we also have some very lacking road infrastructure. If you think of informal settlements and secondary roads in rural areas that haven't been maintained in years, we have some shockingly bad road infrastructure. However, we are nowhere near as badly off as many low-income African countries. And one thing in our favor is that we have a government lead agency for road safety. In fact, we were the first African country to set up such an agency. We also have a formal national road safety strategy, and that strategy is structured around the safe system model and Vision Zero, which is the dominant philosophy around the world in terms of dealing with road deaths. We need to aim for zero road deaths. So we have some key ingredients in place. We also have a lot of laws that at least partly comply with international best practice. And that's around things like drink driving, seatbelt use, speeds, and a whole range of other road safety factors. We even have some vehicle standards, which not many other African countries do. The thing to be aware of, though, is that those standards only apply to new vehicles, and our vehicle fleet as a country is very aging. I've heard that the average age of our vehicles is around 11 years, so many of them are completely non-compliant and probably, in fact, should have been retired. A minibus has an operational lifespan of around 7 years, according to the Department of Transport. But my research with minibus taxi drivers revealed that a good quarter of them were driving vehicles that were 11 years old or older, and about three quarters of them were driving vehicles that were certainly approaching the 7 year point or beyond it.
Yes. So, Dr. Lee, you've given us a great perspective on the survey and put things into the right place so that we understand the whole picture. We appreciate your time and the insight you've shared with us this afternoon.
It's a pleasure. And I want to wish everyone well over Ramadan. And remember, keep that inner traffic cop, that ethical guidance inside ourselves. Keep that alive and awake over Ramadan and in general, because we can't have a traffic cop in every kilometer of every road in every province. It's just impossible to expect that law enforcement will prevent unsafe driving when, in fact, we have a duty internally to be guided by our own sense of ethics.
Yes, the onus is really on us. Thank you very much, Dr. Lee. Go well. Bye-bye.
It's a pleasure. Goodbye.